listening to the CCA Podcast.
I'm Ryan. I'm one of the pastors here. This is my beautiful wife, Linnea. You met her earlier if you already haven't. And we're just delighted that you're here with us on a Sunday morning. We're all about one thing here at Calvary. We're all about Jesus. We're all about helping as many people as we possibly can both find and follow Jesus, starting here in Seattle and around the globe. And so that includes you, whatever your nationality, whatever your background, whatever your story. We're just blessed that you were here. Now, earlier you had us ask the people that we met what we did for Valentine's Day. What did we do for Valentine's Day?
You don't remember? Just kidding. I'm totally kidding. You had surprised me. We went on a food tour of Pike Place Market, which was super fun. We've already tasted quite a few of the samples that we had, but there were quite a few that we hadn't. I've never had the Daily Dozen, and now I'm a convert. And so I love that. And then Etta's, we had crab cakes.
The Tom Douglas crab cakes at Etta's.
I would love to be greeted
with a plate of those when we go to heaven. Just here's the
well
crab
done,
cakes.
Good and faithful servant.
Here's the crab cakes.
Come and share in your master's happiness. That was so good.
Super fun. So we had a really good time celebrating love. It's nothing that we've ever done. We typically dress up and do something that night, but this year was a different year, and we tried something new, and it was fun.
Yeah, thanks again.
Yeah, love you, baby.
Love you.
Good. Well, we're in our sixth week of our Love Jesus, Love Seattle sermon series. And this morning, we're going to be reflecting on the question, how do I overcome regret? How do I overcome regret? Everybody got one of these when you walked in. Yes, you've got your bulletin. There's an insert in there with notes readily available. I would invite you at this time to take that out. We're going to jump in to the sermon. And also, those that may not have a Bible, we have Bibles available, the New International Version, readily available for you. It's out in the lobby at the guest stop if you need a Bible. I always encourage everyone who comes to Calvary, bring a Bible, whether it's on your phone or a hard copy. We've got those available. And if you know somebody in your life who needs a Bible, feel free to pick one up on your way out for them too. Everything we do is around God's Word here, and we believe in encouraging Bible teaching. That's the most relevant thing we can do is go biblical. So if you have your Bibles this morning, we're looking at Hosea. We've been in the book of Hosea, this minor prophet, for the last couple weeks. Hosea is in the Old Testament. It's right after the book of Daniel and right before the book of Joel, if you're looking for where it's at. And we're going to be looking at the sixth chapter, Hosea chapter 6. How do I overcome regret? This is part of the Lord's summoning, okay? So we're going to start at verse 1, and it says this, "Come, come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. So let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like a winter rain, like the spring rains that water the earth." Now here in Seattle, anytime we talk about rain, we can all say amen. Amen. Yeah, it rains here, 10 months out of the year? But I kind of like it, don't you? But isn't today kind of nice too? We've got that intermittent sun going on. How do I overcome regret? Here's the big idea this morning. Jesus lovingly renews all who come to him. Jesus lovingly renews all who come to him. Let's talk about Hosea. We're in the book of Hosea, this minor prophet. Hosea, whose name means salvation. Hosea tells a story from 750 BC. That's a long time ago, but it's a message for us today in 2020 because it's a message of deliverance. The Lord uses Hosea's gritty story of marrying a prostitute to articulate God's care and concern for all people. This morning, do you live with stories of regret? Is there anything in your life that you regret? Maybe your story is, if I'd only had gone into business with my friend, I'd be a millionaire today. Maybe another story of regret is that someone here has, I know I'm not happy today because I didn't marry my boyfriend from years ago. Or maybe, if I'd only had let my son go on the traveling sports team, he would have been good enough to get that college scholarship that we so need. Or maybe, you know, with Amazon being here in Seattle, being the home of Amazon, maybe yours is, I can't believe I didn't invest in Amazon stock years ago. I love that company, and I would be financially set today had I done that. Or maybe your regret is as simple as this. Oh, why in the world did I eat that? Right? I've learned that there are two types of regrets. Number one, the bad choices that we've made, right? And number two, the good choices we wish that we would have made. Regrets. These inner stories of regret that we think about and meditate on, they paralyze. I found that they hold you back and they get you nowhere. How do I overcome regret? I have a little illustration here today. I'm just going to roll this right up here. I found that stories of regret are kind of like this. We sit in them and we rock back and forth and we think and we think and we meditate and we go nowhere. It's just back and forth. For the 700,000 plus Seattleites, regret is a great source of suffering, I've found in talking and meeting a lot of people in our great city, because regret repeatedly meditates on the mistakes made. I found actually that the worst type of regret is comparative regret, because comparative regret compares our worst with their best. It compares my worst with your best, and it's a lose-lose. I never come out on top. I compare my worst with your best, and I just regret. Regrets are what I like to call ruminative. Ruminative regrets. It's like it's kind of like a cow ruminating, chewing on your regretful cud over and over and over. Spit it back up and chew on it again. Swallow it. Nope, not quite done. Spit it up. Chew on it again, over and over and over, getting absolutely nothing new out of it. Ruminative regrets. Just rocking and suffering in what feels like forever. I've talked to people who've been rocking for 10 years in regret. I met people just this week out on our streets of Seattle who expressed regret as regret is such a short word, and yet it stretches on forever. It just keeps going on and on and on. So this morning, I want to give two simple steps to help overcome regret, and we're looking at the book of Hosea. Number one, Hosea helps us. How do I overcome regret? Hosea helps us. Number one, respond to the call. What is the call? Return to the Lord. Scripture says, come, come. Who's that to? That's to you and me. Written thousands of years ago. Just for you, Seattle. Just for you. He says, come. Come, let us return to the Lord. You see, it's not a matter of if, but when we experience regret. Because the Bible says it this way. The Bible says, everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. So it's not a matter of if I'm going to regret. It's really kind of a matter of when. Do you want to live with less regret? I guess that's the question today. My answer would be yeah. Ryan, do you want to live with less regret? Yes, but actually there's a better question. The better question is, Ryan, have you established non-negotiables? See, because non-negotiables are the accountability, it's the border, it's the boundary, it's the helps to keep me from making decisions or to keep me from not making decisions that lead to regret. In other words, what's your accountability structure? How do I overcome regret? Let me give you mine. And these are things that I've prayed back to the Lord. These are my non-negotiables. Number one, fitness. You can write that down, fitness. I found out a long time ago that if my heart isn't beating, I'm no good for anybody. So I just made up my mind years ago. I says, I'm going to, every day, Monday through Friday, I'm in the gym for an hour every day. Non-negotiable. With type 1 diabetes, I've got to do it. I want to be here for my kids. I want to be here for my wife. Fitness is a big deal. Not to mention my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Come on. And so fitness is one of my non-negotiables. My second one is family. Family is a non-negotiable. I cannot go through one day. I'm out of balance. I'm out of whack. If I go through a day and I don't look in the eyes of my wife and tell her I love her, or I don't look in the eyes of Bryce and tell him I love him, or in the eyes of Gavin and tell him I love him, or in the eyes of my sweet pea Lily and tell her that I love her, I'm out of balance. Family is a non-negotiable. Every day I have to have a touch point. I have to have a connect point. Number three, faith, my faith. Every day, it's the first thing I do. If I don't start by having coffee with Jesus at 5 a.m., it won't happen. I'm too busy. My life is too crazy. Once the little monkeys get up, I'm done. Everybody needs my attention. Everybody wants something. And I love giving. But if I have nothing to give, my faith is a non-negotiable. I have to have my time with Jesus in the morning. What are your non-negotiables? What's your response to regret? Do you want less regret? Do you want to live with less regret? Yeah. Better question. Have you established non-negotiables? So the scripture says, come back. This is a reflective moment where he says, return to your God. I love this. He says, you're down, but you're not out. See, there's some people this morning. This is a word of the Lord for you. You're down this morning. You're down. You've been down. You're depressed. It's hard. There's a seemingly hopelessness surrounding you, kind of like a cloud, right? You're down, but you're not out. Your heart is still beating. You're still with us. There's still hope. You're down, but you're not out. So prepare your confession and come back to God. Pray to him, the prophet says. Take away our sin. Accept our confession. How do I overcome regret? I've learned that many have suffered difficult stories of regret. I mean, we're reading a story now of Hosea, who marries a prostitute, an unfaithful woman, and he speaks words of life into her, and she's unfaithful. And could you imagine the regret? Well, like Gomer, David, I've read a whole lot about David in the Bible, and David messed around. Yeah, David messed around, even maybe like some in this room, and committed adultery. But he then murdered a man to try to hide his adultery. I mean, it's like two for two. Talk about regret. It was the prophet Nathan who, in love, if you read 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter, confronts David to deal with his sin. You see, it's not that we won't have regrets. It's what we do with them that matters. Let me show this to you. David confessed. What did he do? An adulterer, a murderer. What did he do? Scripture says David confessed to Nathan. Look at what he says. I've sinned against the Lord. Nathan, I've got some regrets. I messed up. I did some stupid stuff. I know I shouldn't have done. And can you just hear David just going on and on, just ruminating back and forth in a rocking chair of regret? Nathan, I've done this. Nathan, I've done that. Can you believe I did this? Can you believe? And Nathan replies, he says, yes, I know. God knows. Read this with me. but the Lord has forgiven you. But you don't know what the last 10 years looked like for me. Yes, read it with me again. But the Lord has forgiven you. But you didn't hear when I raised my voice against my child and I just pulled the hope out of them and you should see in their eyes. I messed them up. I read it with me. Yes, but the Lord has forgiven. It's not that we won't have regrets. It's what we do with them that matters. Regret, I've learned, will either lead you to God or away. Think of Peter. Peter betrayed Jesus, his Savior, three times after promising that he would never leave him. Talk about regret. Three times over. He said, I don't know Jesus. I have no idea. He even cursed. He cursed him. He says, I don't know who you're talking about. I don't even know who that is. But Jesus lovingly forgives and lovingly calls him back. And I love this. You know how he calls him back? With Portage Bay Cafe. He says, come and have breakfast. Can't you smell the bacon? Well, maybe it wasn't bacon, but maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Corned beef? No, maybe. He returned. He returned. Respond to the call this morning. I'm encouraging you, Seattle, return to the Lord. Come back to your God, Hosea says. Come back. Come back. And he says this. He says, let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. What is he doing here? He's encouraging relationship. This is really what God is after. It's all he wants is relationship with you. He wants to have coffee with you in the morning. He's saying, come on back. Let us acknowledge him. This word here, you have it in your notes, acknowledge. It's a verb. It's to know and be known. What is that? That's relationship. That's intimacy. Your comeback, your callback is a big deal to Jesus. I've learned that our next steps are equally as important. Let me say it this way. Hosea in his book says, act with love and justice. He's trying to get people to come back to God. He's trying to get people to come back to relationship. And part of that, he says, act with love and justice and always depend on him. Act with love and justice. If you remember, we talked about there were 613 precepts throughout the study that scholars have wrapped their heads around. And out of those 613 precepts, they come down to three. And if you remember, those three are found in Hosea 6, verse 6. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. There's other places in the text that we have studied the three where he talks about love and justice and waiting for your God always, and he talks about throughout different passages the three most important things. And actually, as I'm stumbling around here, I'm doing this purposefully because those three are actually found in Micah. I had to look and make sure I remembered. But if you remember weeks ago, it's Micah 6, verse 8. I knew it was the sixth chapter of some book. Micah 6, verse 8, where he says, to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Do you remember that? If you don't remember that message, jump onto the podcast and download that and listen to that. So out of 613 precepts, the prophet Micah brings it down to three in the sixth chapter. And then we talk about, again, here, the scripture I just gave, Hosea 12:6, act with love and justice and always depend on him. Again, he's bringing it down to our next steps after we return to God. Jesus then takes that same thought, and he takes 613 precepts, which then are three in Micah, which then Jesus says, love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and strength. Number two, love what? Your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets, including Hosea, which we're in today, hang on these two commands. Jesus brings it down to love. Loving God and loving your neighbor. I put it in your notes. Here's a love and justice 101 lesson right here. Jesus followers aren't called to exist in isolated units. We follow Jesus well when we love our neighbor well. And so Jesus says it this way. He says, let your light shine before men that they may see your, read it with me, good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. What good is it if we come in here on a Sunday morning and we worship and we pray and we have discipleship and Christian formation and we have an amazing time together with friends and family and the presence of God is rich and it's awesome and we grow and it's amazing, but then we turn the light off when we go outside and nobody knows what we've done. Nobody knows who we are. What good? What's the point? Well, I have a relationship with God, and it's all good, and yay, we had a great time, and high five, and I'll see you next Sunday. Meanwhile, we walk right by somebody who just wants a smile, just needs a prayer. Just the whole point, Jesus is saying, is to be seen. Are you seen? Are you known? What God is doing in you. Here's what he's saying. This is not some guilt thing. This is a great opportunity. We get to turn on the light. We get to let people see what we're all about. We get to shine. How do we do it? The good deeds. The good deeds that you and I do this week, Monday through next Saturday, is how we can shine. What does that look like? Let me give it to you real quick. Some good deeds, real quick. Number one, JLS outreach projects. There's a little note there. You can text GIVE to the number 206-557-6322 for JLS outreach projects. We're doing projects like partnering with schools. We're partnering with Green Lake Elementary School. We're partnering with Sacagawea Elementary School. We're partnering with Eckstein Middle School. What are we doing? We're doing things like coffee outreaches. We're doing things like showing up weekly and tutoring. We're doing things like helping people with benevolent needs. Their families who would not have had Christmas without your generous gifts to these Jesus Loves Seattle outreach projects. There are students who wouldn't have jackets. There are people who would not have had food. Whether it's housing, whether it's feeding, whether it's hospitalizing, whether it's clothing, whether it's employing, whether it's educating, whether it's encouraging, whether it's equipping, we will find a way to make sure everyone in Seattle knows Jesus. We're here. We're called to do good deeds, to shine. So that's one way we do it. We do JLS, Jesus Loves Seattle outreach projects. We're getting ready. Stay tuned. The next couple weeks, we're going to have another opportunity. You'll find it in your bulletin within the next couple weeks where you can jump in. You can jump in and you can help shine. You can help do good deeds. At Sacagawea, we're getting ready to do a JLS outreach project. Stay tuned. It's going to be fun. It's an opportunity to do good deeds, to jump in and let your light shine. Number two, prayer. Prayer is a big deal. I've prayed for people at the gym. I've prayed for people on the streets. This is so cool. This week we had the benefit of the doubt. Pastor Scott and I, we were able to go down and we had a meeting with Chief Harold Scoggins, the chief of fire, the fire chief here in Seattle, and it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. We got to know him a little bit. We actually even got to pray with him. It was the coolest thing. Did you know I mentioned a couple weeks ago that we're getting ready to do a Jesus Loves Seattle National Day of Prayer Walk? Put it in your calendar. We'll get you more information here coming up. But May 7th, we're going to recruit as many churches as we can with us. We're going to go downtown. We cast this vision actually with Chief Scoggins this last week, and we said, here's what we want to do. We just want to pray for our city. I said, we pray for you. We want to pray for the city. And he told me, that's one of the greatest things you can do for us. And I says, I know exactly what you're talking about. And he actually, remember this guy? We had some conversation with him at the FAC, the Fire Alarm Center. I don't know if you know where that's at downtown, but we were actually had the benefit of the doubt of going in there. And we went in and we got to hear real life calls of emergencies going on all around the city. I don't know if you've ever done something like that, but even right now, the time that you and I are extrapolating this scripture, there within 10 minutes, right? There were four to six calls in 10 minutes. By one person fielded 4 to 6 calls, emergencies. I've fallen and I think I'm bleeding internally. Well, ma'am, I'm going to need you to calm down with me. Just calm down. Tell me what happened. You've got another one. There's an elevator stuck. I don't know if anybody's in it, but and you're hearing this stuff. These are things going on all around the city, you guys. And so Chief Scoggins says, prayer. We love prayer. We thank you for prayer. And it's actually his wife is going to be helping us with a route downtown, what we're doing. And so prayer at Calvary. We pray here, this room back here, every week at 6 p.m. on a Wednesday night. We want to invite you. It's my favorite night of the week in this little chapel back here. We pack it out and we pray for our city, the north, the south, the east, and the west. And we're praying for people like Chief Scoggins. We're praying for the chief of police. We're praying for our leaders. We're praying for our teachers. We're praying for our students. We're praying for you. We're praying for each other. Prayer at Calvary is one of those ways. Is there somebody in your life you can take just a little bit of time and pray for? Maybe a coworker? Hey, can I pray with you? Prayer is one of those good deeds that does what? Allows you to shine and lead people to Jesus. What's the last one? Missions. I just put down three very simple basics. Missions. Pastor Linnea mentioned it earlier, but we have 70 plus missionaries that we support. I just heard this week in an email from Bob Hoskins. This is our 30th year. Bob Hoskins is one of the One Hope is one of the missions that we support together as a community. And what is that? If you don't know, One Hope is all about getting the Word of God into kids' hands. It's God's Word, every child. That's the vision. God's Word, every child. Did you know almost this year, Bob Hoskins says 123 million children. We're almost there to 123 million children will have been given a copy of God's Word. What is that? That's missions. That's missions. That's this morning what it's all about. It's unleashing hope here in Seattle and all across the world. You say, well, how can I get involved with something like that? Maybe do like Lene and I have done, and we made a decision a long time ago. We're going to start giving to missions. How do you do it? That little text number there that I put in there, text GIVE to 206-557-6322. That's a great opportunity for you to join forces, for us to partner together. Because if you haven't heard, we're taking on 20 new missionaries in 2020. Isn't that fun? Isn't that cool? This is an opportunity to do good deeds, to shine, to make a difference. That's what Love Jesus, Love Seattle sermon series is all about. Good deeds, church. Listen. Are your ears awake this morning? Good deeds are all about using your influence to relieve suffering and impact the city through compassion with the hope of Jesus. Two simple steps to help overcome regret. Number one, respond to the call. Return to the Lord. Number two, remember the promise. What is the promise? His love restores. Hosea said it this way. He says, after 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us that we may, what does this word say? Live in his presence. Jesus is all about life. Romans 5:8 says, while we were still sinners, while we were still making mistakes and we were full of regret, while we were still sinners, Christ demonstrates his love for us by this, by sending God and dying for us. While we were still sinners, God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, he sent Jesus to die for us. But Jesus didn't stay dead. Romans 4:17 says he's the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. That's why Paul said, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Because John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son that whosoever, that's you and me, that's Seattle, that's our world, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God is all about life. Did you know he didn't come to just give life, but John 10:10 says he came that we might live it abundantly? Like he's all about you living and having an experience with Jesus in this life. Abundance, more than enough, fruit, life, hope, joy. He can restore you from all imaginative counterfactuals. What did you just say? Imaginative counterfactuals. God can restore you and me from all imaginative counterfactuals. What is that? Well, you know what it is. It's your inner mind movies that you and I unconsciously just set on repeat. And we play things out in our mind. Right? Where you're suffering, you're anxiously rewriting past narrative to no avail. Come on, we do it. Some of you are doing it right now. Stop it! Right? We do it. Come on, I know what I'm talking about. I do it. Right? I love Zig Ziglar. He calls this stinking thinking. You ever smell any something just real stinky? That's what those inner mind movies are, those imaginative counterfactuals. Like yours and mine, the Bible has many stories of both regret, but I like this, restoration. Regret and restoration. Because remember, this morning, you've got to remember his promise, and that promise is his love restores. Consider Paul. Paul was known as the angry man who helped murder Christians. Read his writing with me. He says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. You think Paul had some regrets? How do I overcome regret? Well, I've learned there will always be opportunity to feel like I am the worst. From mistakes made and from missed opportunities not taken. I'm the worst. But the scripture doesn't end there. Listen to Paul's restoration. He says, but God. Let's just stop there. Okay, this morning, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're dealing with. But God. Yeah, but Pastor Ryan, you don't know. I've had this, I've had that, I've had... But God. We can just contemplate on those two words right there for a while, can't we? But God. We've got our rebuttal. We've got our ruminative thinking and, but God. And read on. It says, but God had mercy. What is that? Loyal love. God had loyal love. He had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others in the great city of Seattle and around the world will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal. There it is again.
Amen. Good.
Paul says, Seattle, Seattle, you're not alone. Come on. Come on, Calvary, you're not alone. You're not alone this morning. The odds may be against you, but Jesus is for you. Regrets and all, yeah. The love of Jesus frees us from suffering with regret. Hosea says it this way. Look back at the scripture. We're in Hosea this morning. He will bind up our wounds. Oh, that sounds really good. He's going to help you. He says, I will heal their waywardness and love them freely. This morning, are you suffering in a rocking chair of regret? I mean, what have you been ruminating over in your life over the weekend? When it's just you and your thoughts in bed, the last things you think about before you fall asleep, and the first things you think about when you wake up. I've learned that Dr. Jesus' healing power works best in our regrets. I will bind up their wounds. I will bind up their wounds. I will bind. Ryan, he tells me. He told me this morning when we were having Ryan. I have a loyal love that will bind up your wounds. I could see it this morning walking in. There's all different types of wounds here in this room, aren't there? I mean, if we had time to just go around the room and honestly talk about what's going on, you'd see different regrets. You'd hear different regrets. Purchase regrets. Something you've purchased, you're on the other side of that purchase and you're like, man, I shouldn't have done. Investment regrets. Man, I've lost so much. I've lost hundreds of thousands of dollars because I did this, Pastor Ryan. Investment regrets. Relationship regrets. If I would have only, I should have, I could have, I would have. Relationship regrets. Addiction regrets. Some deep addictions in here. Some sexual regrets. I just can't seem to get over the hurdle of this sexual regret. It keeps it, eating, habitual eating regrets, behavioral regrets. Like Paul, anger. Maybe just angry. You just get angry and you on the other side of it, you come out and like, why do I do that? I did it again. Fighting regrets, hate regrets, shame, guilt, condemnation. But the Bible says as we rock back and forth day after day, year, some of us after year, the Bible says there is therefore now, right now, no condemnation. Listen to what the Word of God says this morning as you're rocking right alongside your neighbor. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What does that translate to? There's life. I know you've been rocking a long time. I've done it too. How do I overcome regret? How do I overcome regret? This morning I may not have money. I may not be able to write you a check for that purchase regret or that bad investment. Listen to how Peter says it. Before we put up that scripture, I'm going to read you how Peter says it. But I focus on Peter because Peter was one who had some regrets. Peter had some major, major regrets. I remember in particular, I'm thinking just off the cuff, I'm thinking of a regret that I remember having, and I was rocking in it, and it actually isolated me, and I was I felt completely alone. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but it was deep. It was a deep-seated regret, and I'm rocking back and forth in it, and I actually needed a friend to help me get out of it. And I remember the friend came to me and literally extended a hand of help. Literally extended a hand of help, and he says, I'm going to help you up. Ryan, I'm with you. You're not alone. I'm going to help you through this. God's going to get you through this. It wasn't necessarily a regret of something that I had done. It was something that I hadn't done. And I'm just rocking over and over and over and over and over. And this morning, I might not be able in the natural to fix every regret in the room, but I want to connect you with the hand of somebody who can. Listen to what Peter says. Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. What a story. It's a true story. How do I overcome regret? My prayer this morning as I was in preparation through all these points, through all these scriptures is this. My prayer has been for you, Calvary, for me, for our entire city of Seattle to be able to declare as he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet. Amen. My prayer this morning is not that you'll remember any of these points that I've preached. My prayer this morning is that as Jesus reaches this way, that you, rocking in years of regret, could reach up, could grab the hand, and as Jesus' word, the living word of God, speaks to you, that his spirit of life and hope and love and peace and joy would come into you and would raise you up out of your regret, would raise you up out of your discomfort, would raise you up out of your shame, would deliver you and would save you now in his presence. To the 700,000 in Seattle, to the 3.5 million in the surrounding metropolitan of our great, great city. Many of you this morning are suffering from stories of regret, but Jesus offers a helping hand to restore you. Remember the promise. His love restores. The word of the Lord to Seattle is this: everything you need is to be found in me, everything. Regrets and all. How will you respond to Jesus this morning? He extends a restoring hand through Hosea. The text, we read it. He gives an example. Hosea marries a prostitute, an unfaithful woman. He extends a hand through Hosea. He extends a hand through David. The narrative of David's life, an adulterer, a murderer, he extends a hand of hope, a hand of restoration, healing through. He extends a hand through Paul. He extends a hand through Peter. He's going to reach down. He's going to pull you up. He extends a hand through me. Come on. It's time to get up this morning. Come on. I got you. You're not alone. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, come on, Seattle, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to help you up out of this. You don't have to live in that regret any longer. Come on. It's not that you're going to forget that it's there. It's always going to be there. It's that you don't have to go and sit in it any longer. You don't have to go and rock in that thing any longer. You'll remember it. I know I remembered stuff I've done. If we had time, I could go through it, but there's no use. I refuse to rock in it any longer. I come with the hand of Jesus this morning, Seattle. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Men, women, boys, and girls who don't have joy or peace in their life will spend an entire lifetime searching for it. I know what I'm talking about because I've done it. People who are looking for hope will look, they'll keep looking. I've done it. I've looked in sex, and I've looked in overeating, I've looked in undereating, I've looked in position, I've looked in power, I've looked in education. Well, if I could just get this degree, I'll be happy. And I've looked so many places. In a certain tax bracket, well, if I can make this much money, I'll be happy. And I'll find hope if I can meet this person, if I can reach this status level, if I can. No, man, I've looked a lot of places. And you know what? I got to be completely honest with you this morning. The only place that I found hope, that I found real joy and real peace, is in my relationship with Jesus. That's why I'm so passionate this morning. And at the count of three, if you found hope in this message this morning and you want to respond to this invitation this morning, I'm extending an invitation from God to you. And at the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you want me to pray with you. You say, I want to follow Jesus. I believe that he lovingly renews all who come to him. And I want to come to him this morning. I want to be a Jesus follower, Pastor Ryan. I want to join you, Pastor Ryan, with this invitation. And I want to be a Jesus follower. I found hope in him. If that's you, at the count of three, raise your hand. And I only ask you to raise your hand so I know who to pray for. One, two, three. Raise those hands. Yeah, good. Good. I see that hand. Yes. Awesome. I see your hand. Good, I see your hand. Any others? Just one more minute. I'm just going to pause here. I see your hand. Good, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, those who raised your hand, you can put your hands down and just pray this prayer with me in your heart. Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I need your hope. I've made mistakes. I have regrets, but I give them all to you. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Please forgive me of my mistakes. I believe in you, Jesus, as my Savior and my Lord. Now come into my heart, please, and help me wholeheartedly live for you. I want to follow you from this day forward. I love you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Now, if everybody can look up here, come on, wherever you're at right now, I want you to rise up. Come on, rise up out of, right now, stand with me, rise up. If you've got regrets, whatever those regrets are, rise up out of them. Come on, let Jesus pull you up this morning. Come on, whatever you're in, let him pull you up. Stand with me all across this place. And I want to just pray this prayer of blessing over you as Pastor Linnea is ready to close service. I want to pray this prayer of blessing of you. May the Lord bless you, Calvary, and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor, and may the Lord give you his peace. And my prayer, Calvary Christian Assembly, is may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow to a city who needs Jesus. You may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This morning, if you receive the word of the Lord, would you say yes and amen?